Before I normally I speak the first reading and the gospel, but let's clear a little the air about the second reading. When we hear this reading, we wonder which world is Paul into when he speaks that unmarried women and unmarried men, they're only thinking about God, and all the women that they are married and all the men they are married, they only think about the worldly things. And we wonder, what is the context to understand really this message that he's trying to give to us? We need to see the context. The context is he's speaking to the community of the Corinthians. And as you know, the first group of Christians, they all live together, they all share everything, they all put everything in common, they live as one community and one family throughout the entire week. So they all strived that if you are not married in that particular community, you are dedicated to God. And if you are married, you are dedicated to the things of the earth. Doesn't mean that is negative, but it means you take care of your daily life and you help the church doing rightly the good things that you do in your daily life. And in that's the way that they understood this profound sense is similar to what we say. We know, like here in the community, that we have the nuns helping and being part of the community for so many years here in the community, and they dedicate their lives to God. And so we understand that particular context. At that time, nuns did not exist, but people dedicated to God existed. And so we need to see within this context to understand clearly this first reading, second reading. Saying said, going to our first reading, we hear Moses telling that the good prophet is the one that is listening to God, the one that receives and welcomes God's word, and the one that proclaims and announces God's words. And if you are not speaking from God, you'll die. So I hope that I'm really speaking from God because I want to live tomorrow. Now, in this profound sense that whatever you speak, if you speak in God's terms, you need to become a vessel. Like in the Old Testament, that profound sense comparing our lives like a vessel that God molds and shapes and forms, and we become the recipient of God's word. And our life, if we look from that perspective, is not in the passive way, is allowing God to come to us. Very similarly to what we are singing when we are singing the psalm. Do you remember what you sang in the refrain of the psalm? The words. Tell us the words. Someone remembers the words? If you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And we were singing very nicely and beautifully with the choir. And I didn't rehearse this with the choir, but I'm going to ask Mark to sit there. Please sit in front of the piano because we are going to sing the refrain. And so we were singing very beautifully this refrain that says, if you today you hear his word and refers to God, if today we hear God's words, harden not your hearts. So let us sing to refresh again.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart.
Let's sing it out.
One more.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart.
But stay there. Stay there. Stay there. No, stay.
I'm
no. And so what does that mean, harden not your hearts? It means this profound sense that we want to be open. If today we hear God's knocking at our door, coming and pleading with us to change, God's inviting us to come into this world, but in same time, we need to let the doors of our heart open, because otherwise, God cannot come. He might enter through one year, but the next second is coming out of the next year. So it means I'm not really listening. I'm not really paying attention. I'm not really here to become a vessel, to become a recipient of God's words. But one thing we know, when it really comes, our lives will never be the same. So there is one important person that appears in the gospel that becomes the one that sees and the one that is the unclean. Everyone that is there does not able to see and recognize who is Jesus, but the unclean spirit is the only one recognizing Jesus and is the first one asking the most important question of the gospel. What do you have to do with us? He's almost saying, here we are all unclean, and I know that you are clean and you don't belong here. What have you do to that, to us? You don't belong here. Because we know when he really enters and when we really makes in our heart his home, our lives will never be the same. But what is the beautiful part is the unclean spirit is the one recognizing Jesus. And we know also the other fact. Jesus is the one that really heard the Father's voice and he didn't harden his heart. We know that for a fact. We know also they all were amazed. Remember, this is the first time most of them seeing Jesus. Why were they amazed? He spoke with authority. And we wonder, okay, he had a good mic, and he spoke like I'm speaking right now with a very loud voice, and everyone was like subdued by his voice. No. The word authority in Latin, which is the root of all these words, comes from autoritus, which means the one that speaks as an author. For instance, we all know Hemingway. We heard and we read. Imagine that Hemingway appears here and wants to speak to us. Don't we really want to hear what he has to say? Because he is the author of his books, and we know that when he speaks with authority about his books. We know that a good musician that we all love comes to speak to us. Of course, I want to hear the music that he created because he's the best person that can play that music. We see a painter and you know all his paintings and we say, that's the one that I want to speak to because he's the one that inspired me. The author is the one that is has access to the fountain of creativity. Jesus is the author of all that happened in terms of, you notice that when if time that he speaks, he doesn't only repeat the Old Testament. He always brings a new twist, a new story, a new idea, and a new way of looking at. It's because of that that they said, he spoke with authority, the one that is close to the root, the one that is an author, the one that is not repeating words, but he knew what he was speaking, it was coming from his heart, and that was compelling for the audience and for the people there because they said, I'm here for the first time, not one that repeating words, but the words are becoming alive. And more than that, imagine here we are, and imagine that here in this church, someone has a bad spirit, and we say, this is a story of the past. Even today, the church has exorcisms and performs exorcism, which means when someone that the psychiatrist, the doctor, the psychologist, they all declare that this is not a mental illness and the church recognizes there is something more than all of that, the church creates the exorcism for that particular person. And when the church exercises the exorcism with authority, which is the story that has been described today in the Bible, really, the spirit that doesn't belong to that person is supposed to come out. So what they saw, it was the words that Jesus telling come out, not because they were words or they were screamed aloud or said aloud, but Jesus said with authority, which means he was the one that is the source of those words, which means like in the Gospel of John, in the beginning, it was the Word. So the Word in the biblical terms, it's not just saying words. The word saying with deep meaning, it means we are close to creation, close to God, close to something anew. So every time that Jesus spoke, he was bringing new life. It was bringing new creation into place. It was words that change people forever. Words that motivate spirits that they didn't belong to that person to come out of that person. So here we have a wonderful story of creation. And those stories could only happen to those that their hearts were not hardened.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If today his voice, harden not your heart.
And 20 centuries or 21 centuries had passed, and for 21 centuries, people have been wondering and trying to change the world, trying to be changed. And there is a beautiful story of someone trying to pray. And when he was young, he would say, Father, I want to change the entire world. I want to be a better world. I want them to find justice. I want them to find a place and a home for the homeless. I want them to look around themselves and recognize there is much more than themselves. And he kept praying for a better world. That person grew up, and he was at middle age. He started to say, well, God, at least I would like to pray for the ones around me that you'll be able to see your face, be able to see your love, and they will be able to change. I'll pray for them, the ones that I know, that at least them, Lord, help them. And that person kept growing in their faith. And later on, the only prayer that he was asking, it was, Lord, help me to change. Help me to be a new person. Because that is enough for me. And this profound sense that we are called always to open our hearts. We are called always to be and to wonder like this man and say, what do you have to do with us? On the surface, we don't want to have anything with Jesus. But when we let him in our lives, everything becomes anew. And that's the word of creation that is implanting in each one of us. Which means when we let the Spirit of God come to us, we are called to become new creatures. It's not just because we are born again, like Nicodemus asking Jesus, what we need to do? And Jesus keeps saying, we need to be born again. This profound sense of a new creation, to see the world anew. Which means when we see as God sees, when we touch as God touches, when we smell as God smells, we are part of this new creation. And that's my prayer for each one of us, that we harden not our hearts. We let God's word and God's presence, God's creation and God's universe become ours. Because when that day comes, we can repeat as the psalm says.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart.
Raise your voice, take it out.